You're listening to dialectradio.co.uk. UK.
And I'm joined on the line now by the former Shadow Foreign Secretary, Gerald Kaufman. Hi, Gerald, and welcome to Dialect.
Good evening.
Can you just tell us a little bit about your background? Because I know you're Jewish, aren't you? And you have an interest in what goes on in the Middle East.
I've been interested in what goes on in the Middle East for more than 50 years. I took a very great interest in the foundation of the State of Israel, and I was a supporter of the State of Israel. I was brought up to be a religious Jew, and for years I supported Israel. What went wrong was when, after the war of 1967, when Israel conquered the Palestinian territories, instead of allowing the Palestinians to govern themselves, as the Israelis do, they suppressed them, occupied them, planted settlements in them, had hundreds of checkpoints, and that is both on the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, and also, of course, Gaza, which is the subject of the world's attention now.
I wonder if you could just take us a bit through that history. For many people, they don't know anything about, really, the 1950s, the 1960s and 70s. Can you just tell us what some of the main events have been over the years in Israel? Because, obviously, after World War II, people around the world did feel that it was very important that there was a homeland for the Jewish people who'd been so persecuted.
Yes, that's certainly true. The problem is that after Israel won what was called the Six-Day War in June 1967, they conquered all of the whole of the Palestinian territories. Up till then, what had been Palestine, created as a British mandate after the First World War, what had been Palestine had been divided, with the western part Israel and the eastern part part of the Kingdom of Jordan. Then, when in 1967 the Arab countries surrounding Israel went to war with Israel, Israel won that war. It's the last war that it won decisively. Israel won that war and occupied the Palestinian territories. And the problem, both for the Palestinians and for the Israelis, that the Israelis have never known what to do about it.
If you were in a position now, obviously you were at one time, I think for several years actually, Shadow Foreign Secretary. If you were in the boots now of the Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond, what would you be saying and doing in order to try and alleviate the current problem? Because it does seem to be, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, Gerald, but it does seem to be rather one-sided, with a very, very well-equipped army with the most modern weapons, really fighting what is effectively a kind of guerrilla army with very old-fashioned weapons that don't really seem to stand much of a chance. It doesn't really seem to be an equal fight.
I'm not excusing what Hamas does, but let's remember that this is not only Gaza. The gaze of the world is on Gaza now, but there's the whole of the West Bank in which the people don't have the right to govern themselves, aren't allowed to move freely in Jerusalem, have their homes taken away from them by settlers, with the Israeli army and police supporting the settlers. The Israelis have built a wall which is illegal and keeps the Palestinians away from their own land. They have, as I say, hundreds of checkpoints, which means that the Palestinians can't move freely. 500,000 Jews are living in settlements on Palestinian land, and that's in the West Bank. So don't let's forget that. What we've got now is a situation in Gaza which the Israelis have blockaded for many years, so that the people in Gaza have very little fresh water, have very little food, rely on the United Nations for food for 80%, something like that. They don't have fuel. The Israelis have just attacked and very seriously damaged the only power station in Gaza, the Israelis are behaving not only monstrously and criminally, they're idiots, because they cannot win this war. They've tried twice before to conquer Gaza and to stop Hamas doing what it does. They can't do it. They don't understand, which eventually the British government understood in Northern Ireland, that you can't defeat guerrilla warfare. All you can do is do a political settlement, which sensible British governments did in the end. But the Israelis are too stupid as well as too callous to understand that.
Well, as someone who was a shadow foreign secretary, what sort of pressure do you think that, the Foreign Office now could be putting on to bring about some kind of peace, Gerald?
Look, we're going to get nowhere on this situation until the only power that's got the power to force Israel to do something, namely the American government, says to the Israelis, enough is enough. The Americans support Israel. Kerry, their Secretary of State, has said that again today. But supporting Israel doesn't mean condoning everything they do. Kerry spent months and months and months trying to get a negotiated settlement, but the Israelis don't want it. They believe that their huge military power can prevail. But it may prevail, but it doesn't save them. Yesterday, 10 Israeli soldiers were killed. They don't like that. And of course, they're right not to like it. They cherish their lives. But the Israelis have killed 20 times as many people in Gaza as they have lost themselves. And the latest news is that in one of the latest attacks, the Israelis have actually killed United Nations representatives in Gaza. They're idiots. They can't win. As I said in the House of Commons last week, they can kill, but they can't win.
So what pressure, diplomatic pressure, can Britain put on? I understand, obviously, that America is much more powerful diplomatically, but surely Britain, who helped create the State of Israel in the first place through the Balfour Declaration and other things, Gerald, surely we could be putting some pressure on too to bring about peace.
The British government is useless on this issue, utterly and totally useless. The previous Foreign Secretary, William Hague, said the right things, though he did nothing. Cameron, last week in the House of Commons, basically gave the Israelis a blank cheque. And it's stupid to do that, because it's in the Israelis' interests to have a settlement. It's in the Israelis' interest for them to have peace. But they've now killed, yesterday and today, they've killed another 100 people in Gaza, including, as I say, United Nations representatives. This is a problem without a solution as long as the Israelis believe that their military power can win. But it can't. They've not won a war since 1967. They've invaded Lebanon several times and come out with their tails between their legs. And that's why I say they're harsh and vicious and they've committed war crimes, but above all, they're fools.
Are there divisions opening up between different factions of Jewish people over this, Gerald?
I think that a lot of Jewish people are ashamed of what the Israeli government are doing. I get letters and emails from Jewish people, and not just in this country, saying that it's essential that there should be a settlement. One thing I will not have, and I made this clear, the Israeli government may speak for the people of Israel, but they do not speak for the Jewish people outside Israel.
Hello, Gerald. This is Mehnaz Shahabi. I'm a peace and justice activist from Iran, living in Britain. Firstly, I must say that I'm honored to be in the same program as you. You have been a source of hope an inspiration for us all in the anti-war movement with your compassion and integrity in relation to the issue of Israel. One question I wanted to ask is that, is the policy of British government towards Israel, does the British government has its own agenda because of the power of the Israel lobby in Britain, and any interests that Britain might have, or is it just blindly following the United States?
Well, it's very nice of you to say what you've said. The real problem is this, that Jewish organizations in the United States, even though they're losing their full pressure, blackmail politicians by reminding them of the Holocaust. And of course, the killing of 6 million Jews by the Nazis was one of the most terrible crimes in human history. But it does not excuse what the Israelis are doing. Most of my family were killed by the Nazis. Most of my family, my parents were immigrants who came to England, but most of my family remained in Poland and were murdered by the Nazis. And my grandmother was shot dead in her bed by a Nazi soldier. So I'm very well aware of what the Holocaust is all about. But as I've said, my grandmother did not die in order to provide cover for Israeli soldiers murdering Palestinian grandmothers.
Is there any hope for the Middle East? Because we do seem to come across these kinds of massacres, very difficult situations, wars going on time and time again. Is there any real solution? And if so, what do you think it would be?
I don't see a solution. It's a long time since I saw a solution. Some American presidents, Clinton, Carter, George H.W. Bush, the father of the previous president, George W. Bush, all made efforts to try to bring peace about. Barack Obama hasn't lifted a finger to do this. He's a big windbag and he talks a lot, but he doesn't do anything. And in the end, the only way in which the Israelis can be made to see sense is if the United States withdraws its economic help and withdraws its armaments that it supplies to Israel. But the United States is not going to do that. So we don't have a neat and tidy solution. My own view is that the day will come when the Palestinian people will say, we're dying anyhow, large numbers of us are dying, so let's die for something. There have already been two uprisings against Israel by the Palestinians, what they call the Intifadas. If there's another one, it will be on a far, far bigger scale, and the Israelis will not know what hit them.
Gerald, we hear that, we know that the negotiations, the peace process has collapsed, and we hear that the one-state solution is dead, and in fact, Israel has never been interested in the one-state solution. It's been sort of leading on in order to build more and more settlements and get bigger and bigger. What do you think yourself about, as far as the solution is concerned? Do you think a two-state solution is possible, and or do you envisage a one-state solution?
A two-state solution is only possible if the Americans enforce it. That's the only way it will happen. And Obama has had a lot of years now to do something about it. He went to Cairo and made one of his big windbag speeches there about the need for peace, but he doesn't do anything. And there's no point in pretending. There's no point in pretending that you can have a settlement without Israel being made to negotiate. The day may come when they stop being stupid and learn to be practical. But meanwhile, we're living through this awful episode, which will come to an end eventually, but it won't be the last. This is the third Israeli attack on Gaza, and they failed twice before, and they'll fail now. But they'll kill a lot of people on the way.
Yeah, thank you very much. There is just one final question, may I? We see that there are a number of activists, a minority, but there are people who are extremely courageous to be campaigning against Israeli government's policies towards Palestinians. But we see that the Israeli society at large is becoming more entrenched in this in their positions and more violent towards the Palestinians. How do you think it is possible, from the position that we are here, to reach Israeli public?
I don't know if it is. I really don't know if it is. There are two ways of looking at this problem. One is to go on mouthing platitudes. Two-state solution, let's negotiate, exchange land for secure borders, all the rest of it. And that's been said again and again and again and again. And Kerry, the United States Secretary of State, did make the effort, but he did not have proper, genuine backing from Obama, and he failed. And I said at the beginning that he would fail. And there will never, 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 never be a negotiated settlement until the Americans force the Israelis to go to the conference table, and I don't think they'll do it.
Thank you very much, Gerald. It's been an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.